Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
Rich was going to be here with us this week, but he forgot his wife's birthday.
I know. I did not want to mention that.
That was funny, because earlier in the week I said, hey, you going to make it? Yeah, I'm going to be here. And this morning he gets up and he's like, hey guys, I'm not going to be there because it's Thomasina's birthday. I'm like, oh damn.
Yeah, I wonder what they're doing. Oh, damn. I hope he really is forcing her to go see that Rush movie.
What's Rush? I don't...
That's a Formula One racing movie.
Oh.
With Thor.
That's right. Now I remember you guys talking about it. Yeah, when you guys talk about Formula One stuff, I just kind of start to... My head just goes, hmm.
When we talk about it, because I'm a huge Formula One racing fan, too.
What do you know about the damn movie?
It's a good-looking movie. I want to see it. I don't care at all about Formula One, but the movie's supposed to be great.
So, to get things off the bat, we're going to talk a little bit about Grand Theft Auto V. But then after the credits roll in the show, not that we actually have credits, but we are going to do a spoiler cast on it so we can get our thoughts out on the story and how things play out. But, that's going to be at the end of the show, so you don't have to worry about us spoiling anything here in the first part of the show. So
at the end of GTA 5, you kill Walter White.
Son of a bitch. Really? 5 minutes into the show and you got to ruin it.
Yep.
2 minutes into the show.
Mm-hmm. Not even two minutes.
All right. So let's get into what we've been playing.
That isn't true, just in case anyone was wondering. I know it could be believed because Walter White and Max Payne, after he shaved his head, have a very striking similarity in features.
And sometimes when Trevor's standing in his underwear, it does look like the Breaking Bad poster.
That's one of the things that annoys me so much about that game. You go away from a character, then you come back after a certain amount of time, they change their clothes, or Trevor always ends up naked, hanging off a rail or something.
Yeah, I don't mind so much them changing their clothes, except for Trevor when he's in his underwear, or when Michael gets up and he's in fucking boxer shorts and no shirt on. I'm like, Jesus! So, but...
That's annoying.
For some reason, though, I bought Trevor some kind of camo jacket. And occasionally I would come back to him like after he had something else on and he would be in that again. I was shocked because a lot of people were saying if you bought them anything, they never showed back up in those clothing. But I guess apparently camo jackets, Trevor's all fucking about. So I guess we'll get to a little bit about Grand Theft Auto V. Me and Kush, like I said, have both finished it. I finished it in a mad rush yesterday, so man, I enjoyed it. That's probably not a shock.
I think I'd probably say it's the worst story in any GTA since GTA 3. I really did not care for the story at all. I thought all the characters pretty much are garbage. Except for Trevor. I like Trevor.
You like Trevor? I like Franklin and I like Michael.
Franklin he seems so generic and stereotypical and he just was a huge pushover. And Michael's fine. I just, you know, as a person, I don't like him. I think Trevor's just funny for how ridiculous he is. And comparisons to Walter White, I don't think are really valid. Because I think even Trevor has more of for one, he's really crazy. And he doesn't try and hide it behind some nice, you know, bullshit cover. But also, I think he would not go to the depths that Walter White has. With spoilers for Breaking Bad, like season 4 or 3, I don't know. I don't think Trevor would ever poison a little kid to get to someone. But who knows? That never came up, so maybe he would. But I don't think he would do something like that. I think he would just go straight at the person. He wouldn't try to go some stupid route to get to another person.
I don't know. There are no kids in Grand Theft Auto, so it would be hard to say. But I know... I think Trevor would be the type of person to do that. I mean, so, but anyway, so you didn't care much for the story. I like the story, okay, but I do think the story was a little weak. And not to spoil anything, but the ending is just like it's like really just like they tried to cram so much.
I think it ended kind of just with like a little whimper. it wasn't as explosive as an ending as I would have expected.
Right. It almost, the ending to me almost felt like the ending of The Lost and Damned, where it's like, oh, okay.
And the side characters I didn't really care for in this game either.
I think the strangers and freaks were some of my favorite parts of the game, though. Just those side missions.
I'm trying to remember them. The British people are okay. The weed dude, whatever. Paparazzi guy.
I like the paparazzi guy.
Douchebag. Annoying ass guy. I wish you could kill him right from the start. I'm trying to think what else there is.
Marianne, the runner chick.
The runner chick.
Did you never go to she's the blonde that Michael races early on in the very...
Oh, her, yeah, she's whatever. Then there's the tow truck woman, which is the worst.
The crackhead.
Yeah, I mean, because those missions suck, too. Why do I want to tow a car? It's not fun. And why does she have to come with me?
But I don't know. I really did enjoy the game. The detail in this game is still amazing, what they're able to pull off on this console.
And I do want to say I really enjoyed the game, too. Just because I don't like the story doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the game.
Okay, I was getting scared there. I was like, did you not enjoy the game?
I really enjoyed it. I just think that the story overall is weak.
I do think the game was way easier than 4, though.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, like 4, there were several missions where it took me like several times to get through it, which is good. Because I know a lot of people that got really fucking frustrated with 4, especially like anytime you had to drive a motorcycle and shoot somebody or something. That was
There aren't enough heists.
There are not
There are way too few heists because they give you that initial heist for that jewelry store,
and it's
that is like probably my favorite mission because that heist just seems more. It just seems the most heisty. You know, it's not going too grand that it sort of feels like, okay, whatever. This, I don't feel like I'm really doing anything that a normal bank job crew would do. But they give you that jewelry job pretty early on. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it never again. Like all the other kind of heists where you set up a crew and stuff aren't really heists.
That was my biggest problem. You really only set a crew up for like maybe 3 or 4 missions.
And it's weird because they tell you, you know, if you use somebody who's got a low percentage,
yeah, they'll level up.
They'll get higher. It's like, what does it matter?
Yeah, because you don't use them 3 or 4 times. And like some of them, like I used the hacker that very first mission, the chick, the female hacker, and I used her. And I was like, awesome. And then like I never had an opportunity to use a hacker again because of the choices I made. That's something else too. You get choices on all the heists. Well, not all the heists, but yeah, pretty much all the heists. There's usually a choice.
You always get some choice, whether it's only the choice of do you want to go loud or quiet.
Yeah.
You know, but you won't always be able to pick a crew. Or, you know, you won't be able to go as elaborate as, you know, other heists, but you will always have at least one choice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually like, sometimes it may be the location that you pick to go do the heist at, as with the second heist that I did, so.
Touchdown Bears!
Hmm?
Touchdown Bears!
Touchdown, really?
Yes, I am going to, every time they score, I'm going to mention it.
That's it, folks. That's all the touchdowns the Bears are going to get today when they get their ass handed to them.
I hate you.
So what were you pretty impressed with the detail in this game?
Yeah, I mean it's a great looking game, and it I'm so happy that we all knew that right from the very start that the second disc for the 360 was only an install disc.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy that there isn't. If you had a switch between them, that'd be awful. But you don't, and it runs really nice. I didn't have any issues with frame rate or anything, really.
Yeah, I had a little pop in there.
I didn't notice pop in, but I also
installed the
play disc to a flash drive.
Yeah, I hear that's the only way that you could do that on the Xbox without making it. Well, you could do it the other way, but it just.
But then it would have more popping and like it would just cause a bunch of problems.
Yeah. So, but the game really is a masterpiece. It's amazing what Rockstar can do. You know, yeah, it takes them 5 years, but Also, the fact that this game made $1 billion in like 3 days, that's crazy to me. I did go to the midnight launch at GameStop, and when I was there, I seen like one child that was 10 years old having his mom in there with him to buy it, and I'm like, you people are so fucking stupid.
Well, to me, because not only are they buying them Grand Theft Auto, they brought them to a midnight launch. That kid should be sleeping.
On a school night.
Should be sleeping away. That kid is definitely, quote, sick that following day.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. One of my GameStop managers there, too, we've been talking about this a couple days. Do you think this one really pushes the M rating quite a bit? Because
I don't know if it really pushes it more so than past games. The torture scene did nothing to me.
Yeah.
It did not bother me at all.
When you meet Trevor.
But I am also someone who is, I think I'm just generally, genuinely. I was generally not affected by video games emotionally either way. Like, I don't cry. Like, I know a whole bunch of people cried at the beginning of The Last of Us. Didn't do shit for me. But so I think I just have that disconnect. And part of it is because everything, no matter, like, the game looks great. The detail is amazing. It doesn't look anywhere near, I mean, the people at least, you know, like real people. Mm-hmm. You give me a movie like the Saw movies, I'm not going to be able to watch any of that because it disgusts me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like the realistic gore. But even, I mean, there wasn't like extreme gore.
It's something that I haven't seen in an R-rated movie.
But also, I feel like the level of detail and gruesomeness in the God of War 3, like ripping off the head and stuff, I think that's much worse. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, you're ripping off the head and you're seeing it come off, and that's much more detailed. I mean, what, you hit the guy in the knee and then you see it's like, oh, now it's a little bloody. Okay.
But you pull out his teeth, but, you know, it's really, it didn't affect me. People were, like, freaked out about that. The only thing that really affected me is when you meet Trevor the very first, or not the first time, because, you know, obviously he's in the opening heist.
I love the part where you do finally meet him for the second time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a cameo.
But that disturbed me. That was like, oh my gosh. Because it was just, I don't know, the reason why was because of the cameo. It affected me because of who that person was and stuff.
It didn't affect me, it didn't disturb me because I was like, I don't care, fine, you do it, I don't like that guy.
But, yeah, so I do love the detail in the game, though. I love
Trevor's beard.
I don't know, because I changed his beard and hairstyle. I made him completely bald, because he just looked... Every other hairstyle in him looks stupid.
I just put a hat on him.
And then he would just take it off.
Yeah, and take off all his clothes, too.
And they do drop the N-word quite a bit.
There's like a section near the end, and I have it recorded, and I'm going to like put it somewhere. I might take the audio out and put it in the show too, because it was ridiculous. It was practically every other word. And I don't care. They don't talk like that.
They do talk like that.
Not to that frequency, though.
If you've been into the ghettos, and if you know
people, I have been to the ghettos. I know people who talk like that, and they do not every other word.
I have heard those same conversations.
I haven't.
Out here.
And there are a lot more black people here.
It doesn't matter. I've heard them here in our town. I mean, I've seen black people talk on the phone like that. It's ridiculous. So I'm just, it's, to me, it's realistic, but.
To me, it was a little bit too much. Too exaggerated. Not all the time. I don't think it was that bad for the most part in the game, but there was one specific section where it was just ridiculous.
I know what section you're talking about, yeah, but I don't know, I've heard them talk just like that. So
this sounds so bad. We're like, I heard them talk. Like, who? Them. God. I love black people.
Do too.
let's move to some other part of the game. I want to get off that part.
Yeah, we're going to spoil more of it at the end, so let's just put it...
What do you think of the driving? Lunchbox asked us if he's the only one who doesn't like driving because he wants to stop and see all the the detail.
Oh, I agree. I love the detail in those games when you're driving around. To me, they need to do something with that mini map, because I want to see it displayed up on your windshield or something where you need to go. Because I agree that looking at that mini map, you're losing everything that the game is around you. You know, you're not seeing anything. And I think a lot of problem with that is you'd learn the city more if you didn't have to look at that mini map so much.
I think all you have horrible peripheral vision. Mm. It didn't bother me. I was able to look and see everything while also seeing the mini map and just a little bit.
Mm. I think you're wrong, but that's okay. No,
yeah, you can't think I'm wrong. It's you are poor with your eyes, and I'm not.
Oh yeah, let's bring that up again. You know, I lost sight in one of my eyes.
No, you got it surgically lasered into a bionicle eye. You are not the $6 million man. Only minus $5,999,992.
Yeah, trust me, fucking surgery is expensive. I got the bill the other day. Whew. The driving itself, I think it's okay.
I like the driving. I just think they do a horrible thing in putting you in that fast car at the beginning, which
yeah,
controls like
crazy.
Shit. Because it is just one loose ass, you know, which I expect is how those cars drive, but it's not the great first impression.
Yeah, it really isn't. You're like, damn, first of all, you don't know how to drive the cars at all in this game. And it's like, oh, we're going to throw you in a really fast car and then expect you to do a race. And you're like, what? But the cars always had that fishtail-y stuff and things. What I do not like, though, is a lot of the off-road vehicles. It almost feels like they are, when you're bouncing over the hills, it almost feels like they have no weight whatsoever. Like that dune buggy is nuts. It's like you barely hit anything and you're doing flips in the air. And
that's the BF injection or whatever, right?
Yeah, it's
I'm thinking of something else.
No, you're thinking of the Beetle, aren't you?
Well, yeah, that's the BF injection.
Yeah, I'm talking about the dune buggy. Did you buy the airport for Trevor?
I didn't buy anything.
You didn't buy the airport, really? To do the arms race missions? Would they give you a little dune buggy?
I'm saving my money for the stock market. To build it all up.
So did you also hold off on the assassination missions until you beat the game?
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah, that's not the whole point. They didn't bring that up. That pisses me off. There's no way I'll ever be able to buy the golf course at this point, but whatever. I don't care. I'm probably done with the single player for the most part. I went and did a couple of the missions that pop up after you beat the game, so.
Yeah. I ran into Trevor's mom.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have ruined that. I think you should probably take that out.
I don't know. It was stupid.
So. Anyway, that's Grand Theft Auto 5.
I wish they wore seatbelts. I don't know why they don't wear seatbelts.
Although, it doesn't seem like they fly out of the car as much in this one as they did in the other ones.
But why? I don't know why they don't wear seatbelts.
Because it's the law.
Which means they should wear seatbelts.
No, because they don't obey any other law.
Yes, they do.
The law of physics. Law of gravity. That's what I did.
The law of always wearing your underpants. You never seem butt naked.
Technically, you see Trevor butt naked a couple times.
Well, that's Trevor.
So what's been your favorite moment when you've gone back to somebody?
Gone back? Oh.
When you switch out to somebody else?
I don't. It's probably, I'm trying to think. I guess it would just be one of the many times Trevor is just sort of lying somewhere naked. And then he's like drunk, and then you're just whatever. I don't know.
I've had him wake up on train tracks.
Yeah, that happened once. I mean, none of them have really stuck with me that much. I mean, none of them is that funny or anything. You know, I've come back to Michael, and it's just him sitting with his kids, and they're just watching TV. Oh, so exciting.
I did see one, but I don't want to spoil it. I'll bring it up in the spoilers.
And, what the hell is I thinking of? I don't know. I did love, there was that, I forgot what mission it is, but I think I kept a save right before it so that I could record all the audio. But I'm because it's a mandatory mission, I'm pretty sure. But the whole conversation between Trevor and Michael about hipsters. Oh my God. I was like, this is us. This is us. That was probably my favorite part of the entire game. Story-wise, at least, and through the writing.
Right.
So. That was great. And there was also the... Well, I'm not gonna... we'll just wait. Let's move on. We'll get to it all at the end of the show.
Alright, so...
Why did you play this game? And did you buy it?
I did buy it.
On the Xbox Live?
Yes. But I did read other reviews.
You better manually save a shit ton.
I did read other reviews. It seems like I didn't see anybody else really say that they had the same problem you did.
I know people have, though. I've talked with a developer. It's not a new problem.
You say it's like 4 hours into the game?
I list exactly where it is. The exact section by name.
Okay.
So just reread that. This is not a review post.
Yeah, I ended up buying this last night.
We should probably tell everyone we're talking about Marlowe Briggs and the Mask of Death, which isn't a bad game, but I ran into a progress ending bug, which has forced me to, you know, restart from the beginning if I want. And there's no, as of when I talked to the developer, somebody left a comment on that post, which I don't know if they have, if somebody told them something else. But the developer I talked to said they had no current plans to patch the, there's something in my throat. It was a mask of death. There was no current plans to patch the Xbox version. I believe this problem has already been patched out of the Steam version.
Well, I mean, they get a free patch, so they should be able to fix that. I don't know. But you're right. Maybe they won't.
Because it could very well just be very, you know, minimum.
Minor. Yeah.
And also, I mean, I don't think this game is sold that much on the 360. Who knows? Yeah. I don't, like, maybe it's more so now, but who knows if it's even broken 1,000 sales.
So, I didn't know anything about this game until you mentioned that it was kind of like a God of War type game, and it sure is, and I really enjoy that, so. Yeah.
I mean, the combat and the weapons are just, like, straight out of it.
Yeah, I've only played maybe 30 minutes of it, and then I got to a part that annoyed the piss out of me, so I had to quit playing last night.
Is it a part that involves platforming or anything like that that's not combat?
I don't remember. Honestly, I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I was like, I did it once or twice, and I was like, okay, I'm done for the moment. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, there is some platforming problems. Like, very early on in the game, there's a section where you've got there's like this firewall that keeps eventually, you know, the fire will die down, but it seems like to take forever. And there seems to be only one path that you can jump up. But every time I would try to jump up, there would be a firewall there. So I'd either miss the jump because the other platform was too high, or I couldn't make the jump because the firewall was there. And so, you know, I got frustrated because I'd try several times to make this stupid jump on this platform, and either the fire would hit me and knock me in a hole and I would die instantly. It was just stupid shit like that. Yeah, it pisses me off. But
yeah. But it's not a bad game.
No.
And it can be funny. It's definitely, it knows that it's, you know, just being a joke. It's not.
Like the first time you get on the Gatling gun or whatever, and you just got wave after wave of helicopters flying toward you. It's like.
And those parts, I think the best writing in the game is all the, like, names of the different sections where it's like, this is where you shoot down helicopters. But this is where you fall down a waterfall. I mean, you know, they do stupid things like that. And also, I like it whenever you die, the way, like, the Mask of Death, who just sort of... He doesn't narrate, but he'll talk to you every now and again in the game. And when you die, he'll just sort of make fun of you.
Yeah.
Though he does repeat himself sometimes. Like, he's repeated the one thing that I don't even think that is funny or anything, is where he's like, I've given you a new name. It's Kajubujuwajijija. Or whatever he says. But I don't think the game is as funny as some people have stated. Like, I was looking over Justin McElroy's review for Polygon, and he was, like, telling, like, this game is hilarious. I'm like, I didn't find it hilarious. I think the writing, more so than not, falls flat, especially in the story.
Yeah. So, but the game's, I think the game's fun, yeah. Buy it at your own risk, because Kush had issues with it.
Or buy it on Steam.
Or buy it on Steam.
If you have, you know, a PC that can run it.
I just buy it
on Steam.
But it's fun, what I played, and I'll definitely play some more of it.
And it seems to be pretty meaty, because I was like 4 hours-ish in, and I think it was a little bit over halfway through. I'd say it's probably a good, you know, depending on how fast you get through it, you know, 6 to 8 hours.
What I played of it, granted, it's only been about 30 minutes, but it was more fun than the last God of War game that came out. Because that one was a fucking...
Yeah, I'd never play that.
Anyway, let's get to what I have been playing.
I'm still surprised you bought it. Are you just like a huge God of War fan and you were like, $15 for a God of War experience, okay?
You know I love God of War.
I thought you were like tired of it by now.
No, I'm not really tired. I was tired of the last one because it just didn't seem to really bring anything new to the game. You know, the story was kind of stupid and it didn't really, if it had been God of War 4 and it was actually a sequel, I think I'd have been way more excited. But instead of it being a prequel, I don't really like prequels very much, especially in games like God of War, because you earn abilities in the later ones, and then it's like, oh, yeah, he just got this new power. But then when you play the prequel, he already has this power. It makes no sense. It just, for some reason, that breaks immersion. But then at the same time, I don't want him to go back and give it the previous game's skill set. So it's just weird. I don't really care for prequels. They don't make sense to me a lot of times.
Another thing about Marlo Briggs that I just find annoying is that they don't have fingers. They have fingers, but their hands are just one solid piece of polygons.
Yeah.
I don't know why that bugs me, but it just does. It's like playing Grand Theft Auto 3 all over again.
Anyway, let me move on. Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker HD on Wii U. Nintendo has figured out how to make digital games work. For me. And that is to bring them out 2 weeks before you can buy them in a store, and I will buy your fucking digital copy. That is the way to get you to get me into digital copies.
Yeah, it's either that or, you know, a cheaper price.
Yeah, which...
Either a discount or early access.
Yeah, and so I bought the Wind Waker HD, and I didn't play it very much. The beginning of the Wind Waker is so fucking slow and boring. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this again. Because the very first, and I quote unquote dungeon, because it's not really a dungeon at this point, but when you try to go find your sister the very first time, they do the stupid thing where you lose your sword and you're walking around this fucking dungeon for the longest period of time doing stealth stupid shit, and I can't fucking stand that stuff. I can't fucking attack enemies until you get a stick so you can beat the hell out of enemies, but you can't take the stick with you. And it seems like it takes forever to get your sword. I don't mind like 5 minutes without your sword. Like, oh, you have to go from here to here across the room to get your sword or something like that. But to have to go through a 30-minute dungeon without a fucking sword really annoys the piss out of me. But after like when you get to the real to the town and stuff, and you get out to your first dungeon, the game really picks up again. I really just did the first big dungeon last night, and it was a lot of fun. I forgot how much fun this game was, but man, that beginning is, to me, Wind Waker has the worst start of any game. I don't care if people say Twilight Princess does. Now, Twilight Princess had a slow beginning, had a lot of tutorial, but I also felt like it was telling you a story while you were doing it. And the Wind Waker, when it starts, it doesn't really have that much of a going for it story wise. And but this game looks gorgeous on Wii U. The only problem is, in another review, it said the same thing. Is that they added a lighting system to this game. So a lot of times... All that bloom. And a lot of times that makes the characters themselves look like plastic. And it really does. But it's kind of one of those things when you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird looking. But then you move on so fast from that, you're like, oh, okay, cool. So, but man, I am actually playing it with the controller. Because I did buy one of those shitty controllers when the system launched, which to me works fine. But if you play as the game, I did it because it's more comfortable holding that gamepad for long periods of time. The gamepad is great though because it allows you to have your map and everything right there on your lap, and you can actually use both at the same time. So, but when you get the little lap pad there, or the gamepad. You can just like simply touch an icon and move it like you would an iPhone thing, you know, move the item to your A, B, or X, or whatever button it is that you want to use the item on. So that's real convenient. And they added another feature where just randomly around levels, you will find these bottles, the Tingle bottles. And when you grab them, and they actually open up to the Miiverse and people will put their pictures and shit into it in there, and put like words of encouragement. So it's just it's really silly, but at the same time, it's really neat that it's in there. And you'll probably do it once or twice and forget that it's even there because it doesn't add really anything to the game. But it's just neat that it's like it's kind of showing, hey, this is all a connected world, and there are these bottles that you can just pick up and read other people's notes. So, I love Zelda games, and it's nice to get an updated version of this. One reason I was excited is because I bought this game on the GameCube again. I never finished it. That's what's weird. So I never finished Wind Waker. I got to like the last dungeon and got so fucking frustrated I had quit back in the day. And I decided I was going to try to play it again like a year ago. And I bought the GameCube version. I couldn't play it because it doesn't allow you to swap your controls. So my horizontal thing was, I like I said, I don't know if I'm inverted or not. I just, whatever feels good to me, I do it. So, and it wouldn't let you change that on GameCube, strangely enough. And I vaguely remember that when I first played this game, that I had to learn how to play that game this way. But in this one, right off the bat, controls exactly like I want it to. So, did not have to change that. So, but you could if you wanted to. That's the most important part. But so yeah, I'm enjoying it. I just, when I play games like this, though, it makes me sad, though, because I wish Nintendo had put some kind of achievement system in their games, or just in on the system in general, because it's not that it really takes away from it. It's just, I like to be able to compare notes to friends of mine that have the Wii U versions and Wii U games and stuff, too. So.
I'd rather they just create some kind of uniformed account system.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I'd take that over achievements any day. Because that's why I don't really buy games from the eShop or anything. I don't trust it.
Mm-hmm. Well, supposedly they're working on something. I don't know.
Just do it all with Club Nintendo. There already is some integration, because if you buy it, like, you can connect it, and then you buy something through the eShop on like the 3DS, then it already knows, and you get your Club Nintendo points.
Yeah.
So there's something going on.
Yeah. But maybe they don't do it this way because people that don't have the internet. Well, I guess it wouldn't matter if you didn't have the internet. You couldn't. I don't know.
If you don't have the internet, you can't even use the eShop.
Shut up, Kush. Quit with your fucking logic. So, then also I played just a very little bit of Lone Survivor Director's Cut on the Vita. It's a cross-buy title. Cross-buy with Vita and cross-play, so you can play it on both systems. I haven't played the PS3 version yet. I just kind of downloaded it onto the PS3 and haven't played it yet. So this is a... This game's... How old is Lone Survivor? Is it about a couple years old now? Is it a year and a half?
At least a year.
Yeah, I
played it on PC, and I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, I have it on PC, but I played very little of it because I do not like... I didn't like the controls or something on the PC. It feels really good on the Vita, though. Those graphics look really good on the Vita. Like I said, I've only played a little bit. I got fucked up and died last night. I got pissed off and had turned it off because I didn't save for a while. So that's definitely a game that you want to go back to your house and save. But it's a little side-scrolling game. You're the lone survivor, and you're trying to find other people, and you're trying to avoid these monsters. I really don't know much more about the game than that. It's supposed to be. It's kind of scary in its own way. It's not like, so even though it's not 3D, it's still, you hear the fucking monsters show up. What?
Nothing. Jay Cutler is just, this is a,
really?
This is a train wreck right here.
You know, it's a train wreck this show when you talk about sports.
No, everyone knows that sports are the best.
Fuck sports. I don't sports. That's what my shirt says.
Continue.
Yeah, but Lone Survivor, it's out, and it's a good game from what I've played. Definitely something that's interesting on the Vita to play.
What is it? Like, $13 and then like $11.39 for plus members.
It's like you save a dollar or something when you buy it on Plus. When you have Plus.
Because you get, what is it? They give you 20% off or something? Or is it just 10%? No, that's just 10%.
Yeah. But it's a good game, and I'm sure it'd be on sale soon.
It's usually 20% off, though. That's what's weird, I think, with these, like, pre-orders. Because, like, if the game is $15, it'll be $12.
Yeah, usually it's like $12.99. It's usually like $10 something or whatever, but.
I like $9.79 or some whatever. But yeah, I played a 3DS eShop game. Speaking of the eShop earlier, it's called Air Ace Speed. I don't know if I'm supposed to say Air Ace Speed
or AI race.
A race speed. Yeah, that's the name of this game. A racist speed. Or air race speed. It's a game that you basically just are racing against the clock in these like tunnels. You have various ships, but you can't really select them. They're just depending on the area you're in. And you're just trying to get through it as fast as you can, avoiding obstacles or various paths and all that. And it's pretty fun. I was surprised by how much fun it was.
Did you get a review copy for this?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, why would you buy this?
Yeah, I just said I don't buy eShop games, so... But it is pretty fun. I like the fact that to advance to the next level, you have to get a bronze star. But in order to get a bronze star, you just have to finish the previous race. And you can die as many times as you want. A bronze star just means finish the race. It doesn't matter if you die 1,000 times, if that's even possible. So I like that about it. There are checkpoints throughout the races, so you don't have to like do it all in one run. So it's pretty forgiving, but if you want to master it, it's going to be difficult because you can move real fast, and it's definitely, with the 3D on, I gave myself a headache like within minutes, so I don't really recommend it if you're prone to headaches. The 3D, that was really bad because there are parts where like you're going through these tunnels and they're like their sections are rotating, so it's even worse. So it's just like they're trying to hypnotize you. It's like, what is going on? I just want to blow myself in the face. That sounded really bad. I want to shoot myself in the face. get blowing out of your head. But yeah, it's a fun game. It's only $5. So if you like those types of games, it's definitely worth checking out. And it does look good. Controls really well. And yeah, you got leaderboards and all that. But I mean, it's not too complicated. There aren't any additional modes. It's just start game and then race. That's it. There's nothing else. It's just the clock and the times of other players. But yeah, that's it. Nothing else to say about it. Read my review if you want.
All right. So let's move on to television shows. The new show Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out.
I wish the actual name of it didn't include the periods for S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's
annoying to spell that.
So what did you think about it? I know you did a little podcast about it, and I didn't listen to that one.
I liked it. I think it was good overall, but my problem with it is that I just am not the biggest Joss Whedon fan, and that episode has Joss Whedon written all over it. Too many quips for me. I just couldn't take it. Like, a lot of people liked the line where she's like, Thor, he's not really a god. Oh, have you seen his arms? I was like, God, shut up. That really bothered me. But he only wrote the pilot episode as far as I know, so I'm hoping that future episodes aren't as quippy. But overall, I think it was pretty decent. And I think it's a great example of how great the Agent Coulson character is, because if the show didn't have him, I don't know if I'd really care to continue watching it.
I don't know. I think I'd watch it just for Fitz and Simmons.
They're not bad. I know a lot of people didn't care for them, but I like those two.
I thought they were funny. Yeah. So.
The main dude is, his face bothers me. That's something I talked about. I just feel like the features of his face are like small on his head, so it looks like they just look too small, and it bugs me.
And it's just, to me, I don't know. It's weird seeing Marvel doing a TV show that's not a cartoon. Because I mean. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe Marvel's doing a TV show. And then I think back, like, how many DC shows have there been over the, like, years? You know, you got Green Arrow, you got...
You had Lois and Clark, and then Smallville.
Yeah. And then you had, like Birds of Prey.
An Aquaman pilot with the guy who played Green Arrow in in Smallville.
Really? I didn't realize that.
There was just a pilot episode. I saw it. It wasn't that good.
I had heard there was going to be an Aquaman show, but I didn't know whatever happened to that. And I didn't realize it was the Green Arrow dude that was playing him. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think that was before he was ever Green Arrow. It was a long time ago.
I was going to say, I kind of wish they would have made him Green Arrow in the Arrow TV show, but I've never watched that. Have you watched that?
No. I've heard it's pretty good.
That's what I've heard.
I kind of want to watch it, but I don't know. There's so much catching up to do. I keep thinking about watching Revolution on Netflix and then, you know, watching it now currently.
So good. I just watched the first episode of this season last night. So good. And it's like, I don't know, people are like, I've read online a lot this week that people were like, oh, I can't watch Revolution because it makes no sense that they turned all the power off. And they, yet they've not watched the show, that it, so they don't know why, how it was explained. Sure, it's probably a stupid explanation, but it's sci-fi. At least they had an explanation of how all the, everything went off, the power of everything went off. And if you've been a sci-fi buff, or even like some of the role-playing games I have been involved in, you know, they have the same stuff in that show as they did in these RPGs. So to me, that all made sense. So I know that's very vague, but I fucking love Revolution. I think that's such a great show. And I think a lot of people don't realize until you actually watch this show that you're watching a show based, it's almost like they're redoing the American Revolution from the, you know, 1700s down to the fact that their dress style and even their weapon choices are the same. It's just crazy. So, I love that show. But Marvel, I really did like the pilot episode.
I think it was a perfectly fine episode. Yeah. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I'll watch another episode.
I do worry about how much it's going to be a Monster of the Week type of show, though. You know,
definitely to some degree.
But it can still be played off well, because Smallville started out that way too, a Monster of the Week show, but it still was pushing an agenda forward. And I keep looking at how S.H.I.E.L.D. is spelled here, and I don't know if I spelled it wrong, and it's driving me insane.
No, that's right.
Okay. So.
Yeah, you're like, I can't tell because the spell check doesn't work because there's periods between every letter.
And I'm always bad at putting the A and I in the wrong places. So.
You mean the I and E?
E and I. Same difference.
You said A and I.
Oh, did I say A?
Yeah. This is an artificial intelligence. There's no Haley Joel Osment here.
Really? That's a joke. You could have kept your stuff.
No. Well, maybe you should learn how to spell, and I won't have to pull out my shitty jokes. So the only one to blame is yourself.
If someone's dyslexic, you can spell
this
better.
Is
it's crazy.
This is terrible. I just scored again on the Bears. It's 30-10. You've ruined everything. Your negativity is seeping through everything. Don't ever laugh like that again.
Right.
I will kill Halo for real if you do that again. Because that was terrible.
Terrible good or terrible bad or terrible it hurts your ears?
Terrible, just don't ever do that again. You sound like that whatever, DiBiase or something, that wrestler. Don't do that again.
Man.
Don't. Oh, looks like Halo's getting killed. I'm coming down to Kentucky.
Alright.
I'm going to put his head into a bag and sprinkle sugar on it and say, here's some more candy.
Oh, those were so good. And you're so diabetic. I think you were trying to kill me.
Now I'm going to try and kill Halo.
Anyway.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Did you watch it?
No, I have no idea what this is.
This is that.
It sounds like a firefighter show.
And it's that Andy Samberg cop show.
Oh.
And it's actually pretty good. I really like it. And this is coming from someone who pretty much, I've never liked Andy Samberg. But I really enjoy the show. I think he's good on it too. And I think the cast in general, they all get a good amount of screen time. And the characters are just pretty, you know, good right from the start. So there's good chemistry and all that. So I'm really hopeful that the show keeps it up. But it's good. And I'm surprised because I really don't like Andy Samberg. When he first started too, he annoyed me so much because I'm like, this is just Adam Sandler version 2.0, even his name, Andy Samberg. Get out of my face. It was so annoying because he'd come on like the weekly update and sing, he'd get a guitar. I'm like, oh my God. It is so ridiculous. But I like him on the show. So there's that. And, I finished Southland, the whole series now. I really like that show. It's a nice,
so it's over?
Gritty. Well, it's been over. I just caught it up on DVDs and stuff. But it's really good. And there's a lot of... What I really like about the show is that it often genuinely surprised me. Where I would... You know, something would happen and I did not see it coming at all. And that's something that a lot of TV shows aren't able to pull off. So I really like that about the show.
Has Community come back yet?
I don't think so. Because, not yesterday, but Thursday was Parks for an Hour
and then Michael
J. Fox show. Which I just watched that right before the show. Michael J. Fox show. And that's okay. It's not fantastic, but it's okay. And I think it'll probably get better in future episodes when they're not talking about Parkinson's as much. After they get the whole point across that, yes, he's got Parkinson's. Now let's get to the actual show.
Cool.
But I really want that show to get better and to just do well, because I really like Michael J. Fox.
Okie dokie. So I started reading a book called Dr. Sleep by Stephen King. I'm very early in this book. There's a lot of stuff I'm very early in because of Grand Theft Auto.
Is this the Shining sequel?
Yeah,
thing?
This is the sequel to Shining. And it's about, so far it's about Danny Torrance as he's grown up. And the powers, the shine that he has, the Shining. They call it the Shine, whatever it is they called it. But
I never read the Shining.
The Shining is a good book. I think it's way
better. I've never read any novel by Stephen King. I've only ever read his short stories and, you know, all those various collections. Or even, like, novellas.
He's had some good books. It is fantastic.
I look at it and I'm like, I want to read this because I really love the miniseries. And then I look at the book and I'm like, I don't want to read a dictionary right now.
I still think you should read the book you wrote about the JFK assassination.
Well, yeah, that's like one of his, like, everyone loves that book. It's not like some people.
That's a fucking great book. And for someone who just gets so in the wave of the JFK thing, because I think it's, I don't know, not that I don't believe that there might have been a second gunman on that, but it just seems like it's overplayed and stuff. And I was like, just hesitant to read that book, but I fucking loved that book. And not because it dealt with so much more than just that part of the book. I mean, that aspect
of history.
Yeah. It delves into that, but it doesn't do so where it's like, ugh.
It doesn't beat you over the head with it.
Right. I mean, he does spy on that family quite a bit in that book, and, but it just seems realistic. Like, you would see, if you were, like, able to time travel and you were able to go back and say, I want to see this portion of this time period and how it played out, and you'd be able to do that, you know? It's just great. It's a great book.
I would also like to read Under the Dome, just to compare it. And I still haven't watched the last episode of Under the Dome of this season.
Under the Dome was really good for like the first 800 pages.
Well, yeah, I've heard the ending is terrible.
Yeah.
Which can be said for a lot of Stephen King books.
To me, my favorite Stephen King books are The Stand, It, and then like most of the Dark Tower trilogy, or Dark Tower trilogy, the Dark Tower books.
Yeah, the Dark Tower Septuple, please.
Yeah, Septuple. But Dr. Sleep, like I said, it deals with Danny, and there's a group of people, I think they're called the Truth or something, and I don't really know much about what's going on with them, but Danny is still seeing ghosts and stuff from the hotel and everything. But my problem with the book is they've turned Dan, he's not Danny anymore, he's Dan, they turned him into an alcoholic, which has become a thing with Stephen King because he is a recovering alcoholic. So a lot of times he writes about that stuff that he knows about in the book. And so a lot of times
eventually something religious happens. Or there's some religious person who nobody's supposed to like, because that's what he writes.
What?
You know, he's got his issues with religion.
Yeah, so it's a strange book, definitely. I'm not sure I like it yet, but I'm less than 10% into it, so I'm sure it'll pick up. I just haven't had the time to read it because of Grand Theft Auto. And I need to replug in my Kindle so I can actually read more of it. So
yeah, I actually own Under the Dome for a Kindle. Like when I was thinking about, I think I should, you know, maybe check this out. I'm like, what? I have it for Kindle? I haven't read it though.
Do yourself a favor and read 11/22.
I'm busy reading stuff for school and stuff I do not like. I do not like Virginia Woolf. I think I probably already mentioned it, but I still do not like her.
I don't honestly like a whole lot of old authors.
I love Hemingway.
I can't get into their writing because I didn't live through that time period. So I don't know. Maybe that's.
I think part of it is that the older authors, I think you like sci-fi and that kind of stuff a lot, or like a different type of genre, as opposed to something that is more on just like, I don't want to say it's a timepiece, but just more of like, okay, this is just normal. Here's a normal story.
I read normal story stuff before.
But like everything you've ever mentioned on the show is like sci-fi related.
Which sucks because I really don't read that much. I've really never been a big sci-fi fan, but I guess.
I mean, sci-fi or supernatural or fan. Like, that's what I mean. I don't mean just sci-fi, but I mean, like, you have the Dresden Files.
Yeah.
You have, you know, you read all the books that have, like, have the recent movies and stuff, like the Mortal Bones or stuff.
I got about.
You've never finished The Virgin, so she's still a virgin.
Divergent.
Okay, well, it sounded like The Virgin.
Sorry.
And it was funnier that way.
No, it wasn't.
It was funnier with you not finishing The Virgin.
So anyway, let's move on to...
Well, you better hurry up before that flower wilts.
Jesus. So, this is something Patrick Klepek was talking about.
I can't believe no one talked about it if it's been a problem for this long.
It is weird. So basically, PayPal is now almost putting themselves into these Kickstarters. Some group of people. Who was it that? I can't remember who it was now. Maybe I'll look at the story here again. But a company had gotten a lot of funding for a game that they created on Kickstarter. And they... basically, they tried to get all their money out of PayPal. They left a little bit there. And then when they tried to go get it, PayPal was like, you guys can't get a hold of that. You got to wait. And they're like, what do you mean we got to wait? He's like, well, basically, you shouldn't have got out all the money that you did get out. So, and it has a lot to do with people that fund over their goals. And from what I understand, it seems like PayPal is afraid of the fraud charges that could be associated with this because PayPal will... as an eBay company, they will refund any kind of fraudulent money purchases or anything. If you get scammed when you buy an eBay thing or whatever, you get some of your money back, maybe all of it. I'm not exactly sure. And so they're afraid that people, after the game's released, they'll try to pull their money because of fraud. So therefore, they wouldn't really have all this money that they made. It's really strange. So basically, they're holding back money and watching a development of a game before they'll give you more of your own money that you earn through Kickstarter. And I just think that's kind of... I can understand why they're doing it, but at the same time, it just seems really shitty.
It is shitty. And I'm just surprised, like I said before, that no one has talked about this before. Like, if this happened to me, I would have talked about it, you know, right off the start. I would not have, like, kept it secret because it's absolute bullshit, and I would want to... let people know so that other people who would be using Kickstarter would know about this and that, you know, you get it out in the public and then it'll get them to change their ways, hopefully.
And maybe it has to do with the fact that not as many, maybe some people funding it don't use PayPal as much. And this, maybe it just has to deal with the fact that maybe this company, PayPal, know nothing about. Maybe this is their first Kickstarter, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It just seems like a shitty proposition. I can understand PayPal's reasoning, but at the same time, they shouldn't be able to do that. It seems like there should be laws against it because that money is not theirs. They didn't make that money. That was given to them so that people could fund these games. And a lot of times, that extra money goes to funding more parts of these new games. I mean, the more money they had, the better they could make the game. And, you know, PayPal doling out that financial assistance is just kind of shitty. You know, if I want to hire an extra programmer because I made $20,000 and I can hire another programmer for 6 months to tighten up the graphics on level 3, you know, I think you should be able to. It's not their money. So it's just shitty. I think it's a shitty proposition, even if it seems legit.
But it's specifically like just a crowdfunding issue when they're doing it themselves and not through like Kickstarter, as far as I would think, because Kickstarter uses Amazon.
Oh, really? I thought it was, maybe it was Indiegogo. I don't know.
I mean, I don't remember the story in detail, but just in my experience with Kickstarter, it's always been, you know, via Amazon. There might be a PayPal option, you know, probably.
I was thinking they added a PayPal option.
But I think most people use Amazon payments, which is what I do.
Huh. Anyway, So Steam, Valve announced their Steam OS, their Steam machine with no prices or any real specs yet, and the god-awful looking Steam controller.
I don't think it looks awful. I think it's definitely weird looking, and I think it's very interesting, and I just want to use it. I want to try it out because I do love the fact that they are, you know, trying something different. It could end up as a huge failure, but at least it's something different as opposed to this, you know, same old. And I'm expecting it to be a very good controller for certain things. Maybe it won't be for everything, but I'm assuming it's going to be a controller that really works well at getting that accuracy that people want in first-person shooters. Because I would assume that if nothing else, they have tested that controller like crazy on their games, and specifically Team Fortress 2. So I would assume that is the best controller for Team Fortress 2 players. It may not be great for every kind of game, but I mean, it looks like a controller that could work well with a first-person shooter and trying to move it just with more, to have more control and subility.
I just think it looks like a dumbass controller, but and like I said, I haven't played it, so I don't know.
It looks like an alien's face.
I thought it looked more like Darth Vader.
Did you see that picture?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Big ol' alien.
To me, the Steam OS doesn't really interest me in the least bit.
I think people they're overestimating how much influence Steam has. I think, you know, we all love Steam as, you know, hardcore gamers, just to put a label on it, but I don't think they have the means to crack the mainstream.
Yeah.
And I know they have a lot of users, but I also know a lot of people who own Steam account, whatever, own that have Steam accounts and don't use Steam at all.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has one. My dad has one. Rich has one.
It's me. It's like it's Linux-based, so I don't know. I don't know anything about Linux, and that right there would hamper me ever putting it on my...
I've never used Linux either. And a whole bunch of people, like, they're talking about, I think it was Radio Radar, was like, oh, we're huge PC gamers. We've been playing games and using PCs for 20 years. We've never used Linux, and we don't know anything about it. That tells you that, I mean, Linux is not...
Linux is like 5% of the PC market, I think, is what... I've seen a number of it. And it just seems like to me, it's like fucking...
Gabe Newell.
Gabe Newell. He just seems like to have a fucking hard on against Windows, and it's like, I don't care, dude. Get over your fucking self. Yeah, maybe it is harder to, but people have been fucking using Windows for years to make games.
No, I think his problem was more so with Windows 8 and the way the store is set up, because it is the having that store be attempting to be like the only place to get things would. Definitely kind of, it would limit as the openness of Windows, but I mean, that's, there is nothing that forces people to use that, so I don't know. I'm one of the people who doesn't hate Windows 8. I don't think there's really anything wrong with it, so.
Yeah, I haven't used Windows 8, but when people told me you can basically make it look exactly like Windows 7.
All you gotta do is when it boots up, you click the desktop thing in the lower left-hand corner. There, you're sent to the desktop.
Yeah.
Big deal. You fucking idiots. Ooh, it doesn't have a start menu. Oh, no. What will we do?
So, I don't know. Just, like, when I Steam to me is the same fucking... I roll my fucking eyes when people start talking about Linux the same way I start rolling my eyes when people talk about Android phones because I have an iPhone, and I'll roll my fucking eyes when they start talking about how I need to change to an Android because I don't care. I do what I want to do. So fuck you. I know the reason why I have an iPhone is because it's not like an Android phone because it's more like a console, the iPhone. If I want to play an iPhone game, I know if I have a 5S, it's going to work, or 5.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that also, just because, you know, there's still, to this day, games are more so made for iOS than Android.
Mm-hmm.
I think Android is, to me, the phone for people who don't want to use their phone for gaming. I don't use my phone for gaming. I love Android because I'm a huge, you know, my email is through Google. I do a lot of things through Google services. So that integration with Android and everything, that's great for me because I also don't want to play games on my phone because phones have shitty battery life. I don't need to do anything.
I don't play games. But to me, it's just like,
but yeah,
it just seems like because I have an iPhone, I'm like the target of every fucking Android user on the fucking planet. Like, one of the guys at work, oh, you got an iPhone? Why don't you have an Android? Because Android, I'm like, I don't give a shit about your Android phone.
Hey, guess what? I mean, you complain all you want. Somebody with an Android phone gets the same shit. Just about iPhones then.
Yeah.
And then people with a Windows phone are just like,
Get laughed at.
What's wrong with you? I would get a Windows phone if they had it on my service. But there are still no Windows phones on Virgin Mobile.
If I could just buy a Windows phone and play games on it?
You can. They have all these, like, the Nokia 520.
Yeah, that's but like how much is the phone? And then
that's like, they keep having it on sale for like $80. Because it's one of those, you know, no contract go phones.
Oh, well, then I might pick one of those motherfuckers up.
I see it on sale all the time on like Slick Deals. It'll be on the front page like every week or every other week.
On my phone, not phone.
Yeah.
But, talking about iOS, I like my iOS 7 on my iPhone, but like you said, you do not like it on the iPad.
I hate it. I fucking hate it so much. And it has not grown on me at all. It is awful. I hate it. I'm convinced that it has definitely hurt my battery life too, because my batteries seem to have just sucked more.
That's what's strange. On my iPhone, it actually made my battery life better.
I'm so annoyed with battery life in general. I just want everyone. I went into a tirade on this on one of my episodes where I'm just like, everyone and. You know, in technology, just stop advancing tech and hardware and all this and just focus on batteries until you crack that. Because I want to have, you know, a tablet, a phone, or whatever that has the battery life of a Kindle, you know, e-reader. I want to have a phone that, you know, has that beautiful screen and all that functionality, but lasts for a month without having to be recharged. Why on earth have we not gotten there? Batteries have sucked forever.
I would love it if these phones just allow us to take a battery out and replace it if it gets bad.
Well, that's an iPhone problem.
Yeah, I know.
You should get an Android. You wouldn't have that problem. Your one complaint about batteries solved with an Android phone.
But how expensive are the batteries too? That's the other problem.
Cheap as hell.
Really? That's good.
Yeah, I mean you can go anywhere. You can go on eBay and buy like 1,000 batteries for $2.
Fucking Steven, his battery got fucking toasted while we were on vacation, because this hotel we stayed at had some kind of fucking limiter on how much power it would allow you to use. we haven't figured it out yet, but basically his phone was dry charging or whatever, where it was actually taking more power to charge it than it was actually bringing the charge it's bringing in. So he's actually losing battery life by having it plugged in, and it fucked up his battery. Do not know what happened. And mine did the same thing, but it didn't fuck up my battery. So, it was crazy.
Yeah. I hate iOS 7 so much.
But and then the last thing I want to bring up is Minecraft is now being blamed in a school violence case. Father or kid brought his dad's gun, hammer, and it seems there's something else. An unloaded gun, a magazine with 6 bullets, a steak knife, and a small-handled sledgehammer. And his dad said he blamed it on video game Minecraft. Because he said the hammers are hammers to dig and knives and guns to protect himself from zombies.
Okay. So,
but
he said that after he and his son watched George Romero Marathon.
Yeah. So, Minecraft now being blamed for school violence. And really, is that even violence? He brought a gun in, but he...
Okay, I mean, that video games continue to be the...
scapegoat.
And yeah. I mean, like, they had that terrible Washington shooting where he liked playing violent video games. They all like playing violent video games.
But he also was telling people that he was getting ELF readings from electronic... frequencies were controlling his mind as well. So he was also...
I hate why people always feel the need to jump to find... to, like, just blame something when they should be taking these as lessons and saying, you know what we need to do? We need to try and help the people who are mentally ill, because this country has just... over the years, more and more and more, we just do not give a shit about people with mental problems. I mean, you have all your institutions and hospitals that get closed down because they don't get funding. And then all of these homeless, you know, a good chunk of these homeless people on the street all have mental problems. I mean, a good chunk of the people with schizophrenia are homeless people. I mean, they're, you know, you think that they're just there because they, you know, are lazy or this or that. That's not why it is. It's because people don't want to help them.
I have a real good friend who's got schizophrenia, and it's fucked up when he tells me, you know, what he hears sometimes. I'm like, that's fucking crazy. So it's just, it's scary. And I, you know, it's strange. But
video games, really, that's the problem.
Yeah, video games. Yeah, and he can't afford his medicine. That's the problem. He can't afford his medicine, and he's hearing voices in his head. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's going to be it for the show.
Yeah.
Except for what we're going to do, a spoiler cast.
Grand Theft Auto 5 spoilers after all the pluggy plugs.
All righty, Kush. Pluggy plug away.
PixelatedSausage.com. On the Twitters, I'm at Kush3, and on Instagram, I'm mkush. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Pixelated Radio. You can also find it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and Zoom and all that crap. You should rate it and subscribe and tell all your friends about it. You should also check out the awesome site frontburner.net. That's frontburner without the E, .net. And that's no E in burner. If you think there's an E in front, then we got some talking to do because you got... There's bigger problems at hand right here. But you should check out that site because it's awesome. And I'm now part of the team, which means they know what they're doing there.
So did you make an official announcement about that yet? Because I didn't see anything.
Not really. I'm not going to get too into it. But just check out the site because it's great. And for whatever reason, this whole time, until like I was emailing back and forth with him, I did not realize that the guy behind it is Kmart Gamer. The guy who was responsible for that. Which gives me, you know, Josh Dean, who was Kmart Gamer, and that gives me 100% confidence that, you know, the site will just grow and grow and grow. Because Kmart went from a place that nobody ever thought to go to for video games to one of the top, you know. I bought games there for the first time in, like, ever. Because they were killing it. Like, I remember I picked up like Mario Kart and like the wheel and like some other game, and it was like a $25 coupon, which is why I did it. I bought Just Cause 2 there. I got a whole bunch of stuff there because, you know, he just killed it with the deals and getting it out there.
And then they stopped doing it, and then Kmart went back down to shit. Nobody goes there anymore.
Well, he decided to go his own route and do this.
Well, he was there for a while after the...
Well, yeah, I know they changed it. They were doing some restructuring things and stuff like that. But now you got frontburner.net. You got a partnership with Toys R Us, which is cool. So, yeah, check it out. It's this, and if you're wondering what... Like, I sent out some direct messages to people I do know. I'm just telling them, like, hey, you should sign up for it here. And, like, I forget, it's like Deneen or whatever. This is Mike D on Twitter. He's Mike from Minnesota. But he's like, did somebody hack your account? I was like, no. But I love the fact that you jumped to that conclusion.
Yeah, well, Steven like, said something to me about that last night. Steven and Sean both were like, yeah, we got messages from Kush about that. We were wondering why. I said, yeah, he got a gig there, so... He's like, oh, that makes sense now.
It's a great site, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like N4G, and you know, like it aggregates, and it also has original content, too, from people who work there. But what I really love about it is that, you know, so far, and because it's small, but hopefully it continues this as it grows, but it's not, you know, it just is open to all platforms and, you know, everything. It's not like N4G, which is incredibly lean towards Sony. It's so ridiculous. All your top stories will usually be things that are great about Sony or things that are shitty about, you know, Microsoft.
Yeah.
It is such a disgusting place.
And when you go in there and try to say anything good about Microsoft, it's like, and they're like, oh, a fucking Microsoft fanboy. I'm like, you guys are all Sony fanboys, but they don't seem to see it that way.
Or I give 3 out of 5 to Dragon's Crown, and I'm a monster.
Well, you are a monster, but that's beside the point.
But, and another nice thing about Front Burner compared to N4G is that when you submit a link, like if you're, I mean, because you don't have to submit something that you made, like you can just find like a story and then you submit it there, you get your points, like all that. But on N4G, you have to, you know, give the URL, you have to give it a title, you have to give it a description, and then link the page. All you have to do on Front Burner is there's a little box to submit a link, and they'll do all the other work for you. So they take out all that busy work. Whether you are a content creator or just someone who reads a lot and says, hey, I think this story would be good over here.
Yeah, and he pimps your stuff out quite a bit, too.
Yeah, and I'm sure at some point, like I've already talked about, like, but there'll probably be a podcast there at some point. I don't know how directly involved I'll be in that. I might be involved in a billion podcasts. I love podcasting. I want to do more podcasts. I just don't want to be the one who has to do all the other work. I just want to talk on them. But yeah, also some other great podcasts. Sign-In Podcast at signinpodcast.com. The Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast at twoheadednerd.com. The Undercover Unitards Podcast at undercoverunitards.com. And the Grand Am Unleashed Podcast at itunes.com.
You just lost it there, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, is it a podcast they do throughout the year, or is it like they take a break when, like, because the season or whatever, the Rolex series.
You need to ask Rolex.
Yeah, because I'm not even sure if they're going to continue, you know, during the off season. I don't know.
Is there anything to even talk about during the off season? I don't know that either. Anyway.
If they do take a break, I think that's the perfect time to give your wife the birthday present of the returning of he said, she played. I don't know what I'm saying. He played, she played. Son
anywho.
Of a biscuit. They should bring that back. But maybe they can spell it and add the E's for a change.
I'm Henderson Man at just about everything. So add me. Review us on iTunes. We need some new reviews.
Yeah.
We haven't had some in a very long time. And now we're going to get into the spoiler cast portion of Grand Theft Auto V. Our version.
Mm-hmm.
I really fucked that all up. Alright.
So, Lost in the Damned.
Yeah. So, the first time you meet Trevor, you beat the living shit out of and kill Johnny Clevitz.
Yep.
That kind of, not that I cared that much about Johnny, but just that disturbed me. I had to actually think about that game for a bit if I wanted to continue that night, because it was pretty rough.
That didn't bother me at all. I didn't think it was that graphic or anything, or brutal. It was just like, whatever.
I don't know if it's just because I'd actually played as that character and they just kind of sold him down the river or whatever.
That was fine by me, because I always thought he was the stupidest character. I hated The Lost in the Damned. I thought that was such a stupid-ass game. Stupid story, stupid character. Never liked them.
I liked that DLC. I liked the story that they were telling about the guy that was trying to do the right thing for the group.
I didn't like him.
But, so I don't really know where to go on the spoiler. I guess what we could do is the heist. I'm guessing in the first heist, the jewelry store, you did the go quietly or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that just, one, it sounded like the better plan, and two, it just sounded like it'd be more fun. Like, I don't want to go and blasting. Anyone can do that.
Yeah. So, I did the same thing there. That mission was so much fun, too.
Of course, it all goes to shit after you leave, because they're not going to just let you, it's not going to be a super easy mission. They're like, we got to make this exciting.
Yeah. So, basically, you know, we get on the motorcycles to take off. The guy always wrecks, I guess.
I assume so. That's what bugs me, is that there are these, you know, these things that seem like they just naturally happen, and then you hear everyone else saying the same exact thing, and you're like, oh, so it's that scripted.
Yeah. But, you know, to me that doesn't bother me, because you knew it was going to be somewhat scripted anyway, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like scripted to the exact point.
Yeah, did you go back for the money? Because I I went to the body and not the motorcycle.
I didn't go back for the money, but I already had it. I don't know if I just drove over it or whatever, but Franklin was like, yeah, I picked it up. And I don't, was I controlling him? I don't know. I can't remember, but.
You had to control Franklin.
Yeah. So then I guess I just ran over it or whatever. Cause I didn't, you know, he just said, oh yeah, I picked it up on the way or whatever.
Yeah. I seen the wreck happen. I was like, oh shit, the money. And I went to the body thinking it would be over his shoulder. And I was like, I couldn't find it. I was like, well, fuck, I got to go on. I don't have time. So, yeah. You know, that's a lot of fun. I wondered what the difference was if it was loud. I'm sure it wasn't much difference. So then kind of the second heist, you had to steal a submarine and you either could go offshore or you could go to the docks. Now, which one of these did you do?
I don't, what's the difference? Cause those two descriptions don't remind me of what the hell is the difference between the two.
It was the mission after you meet Trevor's, or Wade's cousin, and so you go to there's a ship at the docks.
Well, yeah, I just went to the ship, and, like, you press a button, and then you jump in and take it. That's what I did.
Oh, see, I did the offshore one where it was, basically I had to get in a submarine and go underneath the ocean and, find this whatever it was at the bottom of the ocean and then haul it up with a helicopter.
Well, yeah, that's what I did.
Okay, then we didn't do this. So we did the same one then. Because there's one where there was another choice that you could either do that one where it was offshore, or you could do the one where you actually had to go onto a ship and fight your way to the ship.
Well, when I was talking about the ship, I'm just talking about when I got the submarine.
Oh,
the steel
okay.
submarine.
Yeah.
I hated that mission so much because that submarine moves slow as hell.
And you can't see anything underwater with a submarine. It was crazy.
And it needs nitrous in that damn thing or something because it is the most boring. I'm like, oh god, that dot is never moving. It's not coming any closer.
Yeah, that
like,
it's was.
Like, well, how far away am I? Why would you drop me in the water this far away?
Yeah, it was weird how slow that thing moves, and I had a hard time controlling it first. It was like all over the place. It was worse than controlling a helicopter, if you can believe that.
I did not like the flying skill. Really does make a huge difference because I did not know how bad it could be until I was in a helicopter with Franklin. Have you tried that?
No.
Yeah, go do that. It is a nightmare. Because I was trying to land on top of a building. It took me like 5 minutes. Because it just kept losing. It just was a nightmare.
Huh. There's the next heist is called the Blitz Play. But I can't remember what that one was. Right offhand.
I don't know.
It was, the tow truck, or you had to have the trash truck and the boiler suits.
Oh, is that the
now,
one
the
at
mask,
the small,
the mask.
That's the one at the small bank?
No, that was the, I think that, oh, was that the Toledo? Yeah, maybe it was the small
I'm
bank.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember much about that one.
That one, just all hell breaks loose, like the army gets there and then there are tanks or whatever.
I was thinking that was the Toledo store.
I don't know. See, this is the problem. The very first heist is so great, and then nothing ever lives up to that.
Yeah, except for maybe I think the last one was pretty good too. But it wasn't as fun to play, but at least it was pretty exciting. I did like the mission though where I went in as a fire crew.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Me and you, I think, did the exact same fucking thing all the way through this goddamn game.
Probably. Well, I just went ahead and, you know, tried to play it smart every time I could. And I would never want to go in, like, guns blazing. Why the hell would you want to do that?
So, we may have done this one differently. Subtle and oblivious in the last score. What did you do there?
Subtle.
Okay, I did a oblivious. Obvious.
Yeah.
So, basically, I'd take a big drill and drill a hole in the side of the wall with a big tunneler. That was pretty cool. And then had to set explosives on it and get the fuck out of there with the bunny. Push it out. Actually, my crew member did all the pushing out, which was Packy. Did you ever find Packy?
Is that a crew member?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
It was Packy from Grand Theft Auto 4. I thought you liked Packy.
Wait, what?
Packy from Grand Theft Auto 4.
Who the hell is Packy?
He was the Irish guy.
Oh. His name is Packy?
Yeah, Packy McCreary.
Are you saying Patty with P and T?
No, Packy. P-A-C-K-I-E. Packy.
I don't remember that being his name. But no, I did not. He's not in my game.
he must not have done that random mission. Because he's a random mission if you find him there.
I never saw him then.
He was the best.
You have to do a random mission to have him in your crew. I never found him.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have found him. Where was he?
I was just driving. He was robbing a gas station. And you pick him up, him and his idiot friend that fucked up the bank, or the robbery. And you had to take him someplace and lose the cops. And then take him someplace and drop him off. And he was like, hey, if you ever get any big jobs, let me know. And he's not super expensive. He's like 12%, which is pretty, considering all the stuff that he can do for you, he really helps in a lot of the missions.
Well, yeah, it's like the one guy's a pretty good guy, too, the meth cook.
Yeah, I didn't take him. I had the opportunity to take him, but I didn't want to take him because I wanted all the money I could get, and packing was already expensive enough. I also found this, there was also one of those random missions where I found a car that was flipped over in a ditch, and there's a woman bleeding out, and you take her to the police, or take her to the, not police, to an area hospital or veterinarian's office or something so she get patched up. And she's the best getaway driver in the fucking game, and she only takes 5%. So she was the cheapest one, and she's the best. And on that last fucking mission, she's fantastic. So to get to the ending of the game, it just seems like it just kind of, to tie up all the loose ends, they just do it all in one mission where you go kill the last four people or whatever that caused you problems throughout the whole game. It just seemed kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And then
like Franklin overall, his character is not as utilized as it is in the beginning. You sort of get an idea that like maybe this will be, like he'll have a good part in the story, but then it really is just Trevor and Michael's story with Franklin is like thrown in there.
Yeah, I wish I would have done more with Franklin because he just seemed like every time he was just a getaway driver or he was part of the getaway team. Very rarely did he do anything. I think in the fire crew mission, you played as him through most of that. So,
yeah.
But, there's so much game. But, did you find any activities exactly exciting?
I don't know how many I've done, really.
I didn't play golf because it just seemed like it would take forever.
I haven't tried golf. I played tennis, and that was okay. I wish there was table tennis. I wish they still had bowling. I don't know. Like, I've done certain, like, one of my favorite, sort of, I guess he's considered one of the strangers and whatever, fuckheads, is the one where you run across a dog, and then it's like, what? This, like, that was one of the funniest parts of the game. And then you come across a guy who was stuck in a tree, and then the dog was just a figment of your imagination.
Yeah, Dom. He's like, where's that dog? What dog are you talking about? Apparently I can speak dog now.
Yeah. That was good. But the missions are just whatever. The last one of that guy's was annoying as all hell. You got a parachute and land on this moving truck.
Yeah.
And I kept landing on it, and then he'd just, like, fall off.
When I did it, I fucking... Basically, I hit the back of the bed or the front of the truck, the back of the truck. You know what I'm talking about. And I kind of like, it was like almost on top of the roof and then fell down, but I still did it. I was like, hell yeah. But it took me several times.
It took me like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it took me a while too. What did you think about the therapy sessions?
They were just they weren't anything special. I kind of wish there was more to do in them.
They actually did play off some of the stuff that you did, though.
Yeah, like, but even still.
Like Michael, when I was playing as Michael, I never went to strip clubs or whatever, and I never had sex with prostitutes, and they actually bring that up every time. It's, how are you doing sexually? You know, and he would be like, I'm doing good, Doc. I've not had any straying or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But, although, did you, that was the ending that was fucking stupid.
Well, I've got a TV show.
Yeah. It was like, it was so out of left field. It was like, what?
I love you. I'm in love with you. No, I'm not. What the hell? What is going on with you? I think you need to see someone because you get fucking, you're out of your mind.
But I let him go.
I killed him. I killed him because I originally let him go. And then there was a side mission, kind of one of those just random missions when the son calls. Michael, about, like, whatever, fellow gamers have kidnapped him. And then I got into a taxi and just automatically rushed there. And then he was bitching. The son was complaining and like swearing, but he was not on screen. It was invisible. Like it acted as if I already took out that car, but I just went, you know, I just jumped to that area in the taxi, but then nothing was there. I never dealt with the car. I never saw that SUV.
What I think happened is while you're in the taxi cab, you got another phone call from him, because that's how
I don't know what happened, but then I tried to reload, and then the loading just didn't go anywhere, so I turned it off, and then that autosave was corrupted or whatever, so I had to go back to mm-hmm. I had to deal with like shit for like 10 minutes before I could get back to my game. And then I redid it, and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm killing this guy now. So yeah. The therapist had to die after that.
I think that's what it was. When you took the taxi cab out there, it went to where that car, he's kidnapped in a car.
I think it's just sort of confused about me jumping to that area, to the car.
He was on the phone.
Because I wasn't on the phone. It doesn't matter.
No, he was on the phone, because when you do that mission, you're following him. He calls you back, and he's talking.
I don't care. He's not going to call me when it's when it's jumping from section to section, because they're not going to have something happen while it's just skipping, because that's like a loading screen. That's not actual in-game shit.
I'm telling you.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I don't care.
I'm telling you.
I don't give a shit. Let's move on to something else. Okay, that's it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It's a good game.
Indeed.
I'm really looking forward to Grand Theft Auto Online. I want to create my own character.
Yeah, but have you read anything about how you do that?
Well, you take two characters and like then something.
Well, basically,
parents or whatever.
You have your grandparents you start out with, yeah. And then you have parents, and then you have your character. That just seems really weird. But
it's a weird thing. Like, I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to work, but whatever.
Right. And I'm also annoyed that Heist won't be available when it launches. That really makes me sad.
It's okay. Because the Heist will probably be available by the time it's working consistently.
I don't know. They've got like 4 packs that they're bringing out, 4 or 5 packs, and Heist is the last one.
Well, so I mean, it's going to take them like a month to get it all working.
That's too long. Because
it took them forever to freaking get their stupid app working.
I know. Yes.
That app was a joke.
Yeah, that was shitty. That Chop minigame was so fucking stupid. I had to... It couldn't work half the time. Then when it did work, it would be like, oh, your dog's thirsty and hungry. I'm like, well, I can't get to him because the app's not working again.
So. The license plate thing, it was confusing as all hell because I couldn't tell if I actually confirmed it or not.
I never even used that.
I don't know.
I wanted my dog to do tricks. And I never hardly use Shop whatsoever. They really under.
I never use them.
I think they should have had him on more missions or something. So.
It's just because they would only end up attempting to use him on a Franklin only mission. And there aren't really that many of those.
Yeah, I guess.
Every Franklin mission is just like Lamar calls up. It's like, here, let me drag you into this bullshit I'm doing. And you're just like, oh, I'm a bitch, so of course I'll do it.
He was loyal.
He's a bitch.
All right, well, that's going to be it. And we will see you later.
No, we won't. I've never seen them. Look at Lunchbox. He's a fucking Transformers head. He accuses me of being a spy, and no one's ever seen his face.
Why are you a spy?
I don't know, because apparently I own every device ever.
Kush is NSA.
And I'm a spy. I don't know what I'm spying for.
Who am I spying for? Own enjoyment. Anyway, that's going to be it. Everybody, have a good night.
Adios.